Women's March on Washington, a New York Times article explored the absence of women in a New Jersey town and how fathers parented the children that weekend. Critics of the piece say it reinforced the notion that mothers serve as the primary parent while fathers merely help out. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 8th. This hour, we will talk with a guest psychologist about this image. We'll explore what the research shows about gender equality in parenting and talk about why this matters. And we'll welcome your experiences and your questions. Are you a parent? Do you feel that you equally divide the parenting responsibilities? Are you a grandparent? Are your adult children sharing parenting duties differently than you and your partner did? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Shapi Sullivan, a professor of human sciences and psychology and a faculty associate of the Crane Center for Early Childhood Research and Policy at Ohio State University. She also wrote a recent piece for The Conversation. Dads are more involved in parenting, yes, but moms still put in more work. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
So thank
you. That New York Times article took this look at this New Jersey town and the absence of women who presumably were participating in the Women's March on Washington a few weeks ago. And it was portraying fathers as kind of floundering around. Critics say that it reinforced the notion that moms are the primary parent while fathers merely help out. What was your initial reaction to that article?
Well, it was funny because I saw it in my very own Facebook feed, and a lot of my friends were commenting on it and saying just how awful the article was and how terrible it was. But what my reaction was a bit different. When I read it, I thought that there were actually some grains of truth in it in relation to some of the research that I've done. So that's kind of what inspired me to write the piece I wrote for The Conversation.
Yeah, and we will get into your research, but the New York Times ended up apologizing for the piece. So why do you think so many were upset?
Well, I think because even if this wasn't the intent of the article, it really did paint this picture of, you know, the women were gone. And it wasn't just about parenting, too. It was about, like, the yoga studios are empty. It played into a lot of stereotypes about men and women and men and women as parents as well.
Yeah. And presumably people were upset. Parents were upset, especially if they are in a relationship, a marriage in which they believe they are equally sharing duties and that men aren't completely helpless when it comes to parenting.
Sure.
Yeah, so what do you think the piece revealed about how we think about parenting in our culture?
Well, what I thought it revealed was actually that some of the research that I've done has looked at, you know, how much time fathers spend, say, alone in sole charge of their children, right? And that really isn't on average. You know, again, they're going to be, individual families where this isn't the case. But on average, you know, fathers don't spend as much solo time with their children as mothers do. So that's one example of something I thought that piece in the New York Times pointed out, that this was actually, the fathers felt comfortable with it for the most part, but they pointed out that it was a somewhat unusual experience for them to be in sole charge of their children, you know, for the weekend. And to me, that rang true, that on average, that is still a more unusual experience for fathers than it is for mothers.
Well, you say that men's parenting time has increased, but women's has too.
Yes.
Talk some about how the state of parenting equality is today.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and we have, there's a lot of emphasis on investing heavily in children, especially among middle-class families. And so whereas, you know, parents may spend less time, say, on housework than they did in decades past, there's an emphasis on spending a lot of time with your children, a lot of time in, you know, educational and development promoting activities with children. And so that's where I think you get, yes, you know, as mothers had moved into the workforce over the past several decades, you get fathers more involved, yes, but mothers aren't necessarily reducing their involvement accordingly. In fact, there's been a slight uptick in their involvement. So I think it really has to do with this child-centered parenting that is sort of the current norm, especially among middle-class families, where parents are supposed to invest really heavily in their children in terms of money and in terms of their time.
Mm-hmm. So help us understand, what does gender equality in parenting actually mean?
Well, I think there are many different ways to define it. The article that I wrote was focusing on time, but that surely is only one aspect of gender equality in parenting. I mean, you may have couples in which parents specialize more and, you know, one parent does more of certain kinds of activities and the other parent does, you know, other, maybe one parent specializes in caregiving and the other parent specializes in, you know, transporting the child to and from activities or play-based activities. So, you know, my article was written on the basis of time, really, but that is only one measure of equality in parenting.
And talk some about how the involvement of dads has changed over time.
Sure. So dads spend, in the U.S. and in a number of other countries around the world, dads have increased the amount of time they spend with children. They've increased the amount of, and not just accessible to children, like available to children if children need them, but also, you know, one-on-one interactions with children. Again, one finding that still is very consistent in the literature is of the time that fathers spend with children, a greater proportion of that time is in play or teaching type activities versus for mothers, a significant proportion of their time is in routine caregiving tasks, routine caregiving activities, things that, you know, have to be done for the child, like feeding and bathing and dressing and those sorts of things.
So
there is still a difference in sort of how mothers and fathers, again, on average, tend to allocate their parenting time.
Yeah. So the dads get to have fun and the moms get to do all the work. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. That's one way of seeing it. But, you know, yeah.
So talk a little bit about your research and how you determine that men are doing more in terms of time anyway, and but women are doing more too. And talk some about how you figured this out.
Yeah, so in our the study that I lead, it's a longitudinal study where we followed about 200 families over time. We recruited couples in the third trimester of pregnancy, and these had to be couples and they were all male-female couples. They were going to be parents for the first time, and they were both working full-time and both planning to return to work after the birth of the child. So these are dual-earner couples. And we followed them up over that transition into parenthood, and we're still following them up ever after that. But one of the pieces of information we got from these families was we asked them to keep detailed diaries of how they spent their time and who they were with and what they were doing. And so we were able to look at how their time allocations changed over that transition into parenthood. And so we found that these parents were very involved with their children, both mothers and fathers, but that there were still these persistent gaps where mothers were spending more time in child care than fathers were. And so that was actually somewhat surprising to us, because these were couples that you would expect to have the most equal divisions of the work associated with child rearing.
Yeah. And some might say, well, you know, that's not surprising, you know, given our society, our culture. And why does it matter if women might spend more time parenting than men do?
Well, I think it matters for a couple of reasons. First of all, again, you know, my research has really focused on these dual earner couples. If women are putting in more childcare time, and in our study we found too that they were actually putting in more overall work, including paid work as well, I mean, that's a burden and could potentially cause, you know, new mothers to feel stressed and to suffer some mental health difficulties, which could have a negative impact on their relationships with their partners and also their relationships with their children. So I think that's, I think it's a concern for mothers' well-being, which certainly you can't argue with the fact that if mothers are not, new mothers are not doing well, then that's going to have a negative impact on the family.
Yeah. And, well, actually, I'll follow up after news. We have news coming up next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about parenting equality and wondering if you think you've figured this out in your household. Are you a parent? Do you think you spend equal time parenting? Or does one partner or the other do more? And how does it work? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think there needs to be gender equality in parenting? Why or why not? We would love to hear from you. We are talking with Sarah Shoppy Sullivan, a professor in human sciences and psychology and a faculty associate at Ohio State University. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about gender roles in parenting and whether we need to do more to equalize the job of parenting between men and women. And we are welcoming your experiences and your questions for our guest expert who has researched this issue and found that while men are doing more parenting than they have in the past, women are too, and women still do more. So, what's your reaction to this? What's your experience like? Why does this matter? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sarah Shoppy Sullivan. She's a professor of human sciences and psychology. She is also a faculty associate of the Crane Center for Early Childhood Research and Policy at Ohio State University. She wrote a recent piece for The Conversation. Dads are more involved in parenting, yes, but moms still put in more work. Her piece followed a controversial piece in the New York Times that explored the absence of women in a New Jersey town during the Women's March on Washington, and it was showing how fathers were parenting children that weekend, perhaps reinforcing a stereotype, but our guest says that women still do more work than men. We have a full line, so let me go to Frank in Liberty first. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. Morning. It sounds like a New York Times piece is really a piece of agitated propaganda from someone with some, I don't know, crazy social engineer's bent, but I guess my comment is that the two small children and mother and I...
You're breaking up, Frank. I'm sorry to say. Yeah, I'm sorry. Your cell phone's breaking up. We're just hearing every other word. What Frank was going to say, and we don't need to go into the New York Times piece. He may not have understood that, but he says that biology puts nurturing in the mother's hands. Children need to be nursed. So I think he was going to say naturally women spend more time parenting and put in more work parenting. Sarah, talk some about that particular aspect of parenting.
Sure. I think that that's a common perception that there are just these inherent biological differences between men and women that affect, you know, how they would become involved in parenting. But my research and that of others just suggests that those roles, those biological underpinnings just aren't as inflexible as people think they are. So, for example, in our research, you know, once we account for breastfeeding time on new parents, that doesn't change the time estimates of parenting time for mothers and fathers very much at all. You know, again, another surprising finding, because that's the first thing that most people will say is that, well, it's breastfeeding. Well, it's not, you know, necessarily. And there's also some really interesting research that's looking at hormonal factors and so forth, for example, testosterone, that shows that, you know, new fathers experience, you know, a decline in testosterone, which helps them to be more nurturing towards their infants. And also that there are individual differences between fathers in those kinds of biological changes that affect, you know, how well they're able to relate to their infants. So I tend to think the research is coming down on the side that men and women are more flexible in those sorts of roles than people think they are.
Yeah, and I know we touched on it in our first segment, but if breastfeeding doesn't account for women putting more time into parenting than the dads, what's accounting for this?
Well, that's kind of what I was trying to get at in the article. I think there are a number of factors. I think that mothers are under a lot of pressure. Even mothers who work full-time and go back to work relatively soon after a child is born are under a lot of pressure to show that they are still, you know, the best mothers that they can possibly be. And so I think that one of the other things that I've done a lot of research on is that there might be some reluctance on the part of mothers to give up control over some aspects of parenting to fathers. So they don't want to be overburdened, but they might feel some ambivalence, because if they really share parenting equally with their partners, they might worry that society will come down on them kind of hard because they're not, you know, fulfilling this idealized role of mother with sort of self-sacrificing and, you know, totally consumed with child rearing, which I think is still out there in society. There's still that idealized role of mother.
Yeah, and why hasn't a father's greater involvement in parenting reduced the parenting chore on women?
Well, part of that is because, as we found in some of our data, when mothers and fathers in these dual earner families actually spend quite a bit of time together with their child, which is, so if fathers are doing more child care, right, the mother tends to be there. And you're thinking, okay, well, why isn't she off at the gym, or, you know, or taking some me time, or, you know, maybe doing, you know, other things that she wants to do? It's hard to tell, you know, just from the diary data that we have, but, you know, it suggests that the reverse is not necessarily true, right? So when mothers are with children, fathers might be there, they might not be there, but when fathers are with children, at least in the data that we have, mothers are often there as well.
1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to join in with your question or your own experience when it comes to gender or parenting equality. Are you a parent? How does parenting work in your household? Do you think there needs to be more gender equality in parenting? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Paul from Eau Claire emailed, and he wants to know, what effect does gender equality or inequality in parenting have on the parents' overall happiness? Sarah?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure we fully know the answer to that at this point. What we do know is that more and more couples, before they have children, express a desire to share parenting equally. But we also know that couples, if you go back and survey them after they have a baby, most of them will say, no, we're not sharing it equally. And that those kinds of discrepancies between what parents want, sort of what they ideally would like their family, parenting in their family to look like, and what it actually looks like when they become parents, those differences can lead to dissatisfaction with the couple relationship, which is also related to lower levels of well-being and happiness in general. So there is a risk there if, you know, you want to share parenting equally, and you know, you become parents and it doesn't happen, especially for women, that can be a risk towards feeling less satisfied with their relationship with their partner, which is related to people's overall sort of sense of satisfaction and happiness with their lives.
Our next caller is Nick in Lake Geneva. Hi, Nick.
Good morning. I wanted to ask the professor, as we're seeing fathers spending more time giving primary care to children, are we seeing any increase in mothers, you know, doing landscaping, home repair, traditional masculine roles?
Ah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure we know that yet, although the data that I have, we could look at some of that. So that's talks about the difference between sort of routine activities like childcare and housework activities that have to be done like every single day, you know, or multiple times a day versus more intermittent type household activities like lawn care or car care and so forth. And that's a really good point. And I will be sure to look into that.
Thanks, Nick, for the call. Max in Mequon is with us. Hello, Max.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call, and good morning to your guests.
Thanks for calling,
Max. I just wanted to share my experience. We have, my wife and I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and I believe from my perspective, we share the duties of parenting fairly similarly and equally, and
yes.
I believe it might not be the norm, and I just wanted to get your guest's take on what is the norm, and I think you talked a little bit about it. But I'm trying to guess, what do you consider parenting? What sort of chores would fall into that? As an example, in my family, my wife goes to the gym, you know, go gets her nails done whenever she needs to, and I'm always there to get the kids out of the house and take care of them. And vice versa, when I have my activities and I need to get out of the house, she's always picked up the tab. And we also split our, you know, household duties, as the other caller just mentioned. I stay fairly equally, so... I'm trying to see if that's the norm or if that's where the society is going.
Thank you. That's a great point. And it does sound like in your family, you and your wife are sharing things relatively equally. So I would say that that's becoming more the norm. The point of, you know, my article and what I found in my research is it's just not quite there yet for everybody, you know, and on average, in families where both parents work outside the home. So I think that that's a really good example, though, of how you can share parenting duties equally, where one parent, either parent, is very comfortable being in sole charge of the children. Like, I think that's really key. Either parent is comfortable, so the other parent can do those other things that they need to do or that they want to do. So I think that's a great example.
Thank you, Max, for the call. We do have an open line for you now if you would like to join in our conversation about gender equality in parenting. Do you think that men and women are sharing these duties pretty much equally or not? What's the situation like in your household? Are you a grandparent? Are your adult children sharing parenting duties differently than perhaps you and your partner did? And what more needs to be done to make sure that there is a gender equality in parenting? Or do you think it doesn't matter all that much? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dads are more involved in parenting today than they have been in generations past, but our guest says moms still handle more of the parenting responsibilities. They still do more work along these lines, though dads are doing more. And we're wondering if this is true in your household or not, and how you make it that way, if it is. We did have a listener, Christine, Carlene in La Crosse, who called in to say that she and her husband are the parents of eight-month-old twins, and they do try to share all tasks equally. And I'm sorry we can't talk with her. That's got to be hard, Sarah. 8-month-old twins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and most of my research, you know, has focused on families with singletons, not with multiples. I think once you have multiples, you know, you're entering into a whole nother realm there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that if, you know, that's another thing, you know, you ramp up the demands, you know, which certainly twins would do, and, you know, that might be just the push, you know, people really need to to move to sharing parenting more equally.
Randy,
when you have really high demands like that.
Randy in Appleton called in, couldn't stay. He says that he thinks we are another generation or two away from men being equal parents. He adds that he has three children, and I'm not sure I understand this part of it, but he's been able, he said, to take more family and medical leave time for parenting. In part, he says that because he has female supervisors, I think maybe they understand more. But talk a little bit, I mean, maybe we can talk a little bit about, do you think we're another generation or two away from men being equal parents, Sarah?
Yeah, probably. I mean, when you think about in historical time, you know, that most of these changes have taken place over the last several decades, that fathers have become more involved, maybe to be the most generous the last 50 years. But in historical time, I mean, that's not very long, right? So I don't think that's, you know, to say that it takes another generation or two, I think it's probably a pretty decent estimate. And that's not to say that we haven't made really significant, you know, very important progress. It's just, you know, we're not quite there yet. And when you think about it, that shouldn't be all that surprising.
Yeah, and I guess laws aside, Randy seems to notice that when he has younger or female supervisors, he has been able to take more family and medical leave time for parenting. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, the partner or the parent that typically takes time off for parenting from work.
Well, sure. I mean, typically, it's mothers. My article and what my research focuses on are things that happen within families, you know, that serve to maintain these kinds of gender differences or gender disparities in parenting time. But you can't underestimate the impact of, you know, things external to the family, such as policies. And in the U.S., you know, we don't have paid family leave policies for mothers, let alone for fathers. And I think if we did have the paid parental leave for fathers and mothers, I think that would go a long way towards removing some of these last sort of barriers to gender equality in parenting.
Yeah. You know, when I asked earlier, why does this matter, one of the reasons that you gave was that overall, it matters because it's better for women's well-being if they're not overworked and stressed out you know, carrying more of the responsibility of parenting. It's better for the women and for the children. You don't want a completely stressed out or burned out mom. But what about moms and work? I would imagine it would also affect their professional success.
Sure. I mean, in the work domain, there's evidence that you know, the wage gap isn't so much between, you know, men and women, you know, young men and women who aren't parents, who don't have families, but it's really a motherhood penalty. And so because, you know, in part because employers may feel like, you know, mothers aren't going to be as devoted to their careers and so forth. But I think if there was more expectation on the part of mothers in the broader society that men and women would contribute equally to parenting, then that could also make a difference in terms of removing that penalty that women may experience in their careers and their earnings potential and so forth when they become mothers. So I think that is another way that equality in parenting could be beneficial for women.
We are talking with Sarah Shapi Sullivan, a professor of human sciences and psychology. She is also a faculty associate in the Early Childhood Research and Policy Center at Ohio State University. And she wrote a recent piece, "Dads are more involved in parenting, yes, but moms still put in more work." And we are talking about her research on this parenting equality issue. And we're welcoming your questions and we're welcoming your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're going to check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest psychologist and researcher about what research shows about gender equality in parenting. And we are wondering what you think, what questions you have, and what your experience is like. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with Sarah Shapi Sullivan, a professor of human sciences and psychology, a faculty associate of the Crane Center for Early Childhood Research and Policy at Ohio State University. We are talking with her about her research and a recent piece that she wrote for The Conversation on parenting equality. The research shows that dads are more involved in parenting. That's true compared to past generations, but that mothers still put in more work and more time. And we wonder if that's the situation in your household. And let's talk some about how we change this. Christina on Facebook says, what's going to work? Teamwork. That's her answer. Sarah, what thoughts do you have on how we might achieve better parenting equality?
Sure. I think that there are some very effective programs that have been tested and aren't widely used yet, but that can help expectant parents, so couples before they become parents, talk about their desires for shared parenting and how they plan to implement those after their child is born, and also help follow them up after they have a baby and teach them how, if they find that things aren't equal or aren't the way that they want them to be, how they can negotiate with each other, maybe you'd call it teamwork, and get that balance back where they want it to be. We have classes for expectant parents, right, but they're all about the birth process. You know, they don't really talk about what it's like to become a parent and how to work out your parenting roles and responsibilities. So I think that's one very promising direction.
Yeah. You know, we had a caller who dropped off during the news break, and we have a lot of callers participating, but then they just want to pass along their comment, apparently. But it was a father who said that he estimated that he probably was responsible for 70% of the parenting responsibilities, I guess, saying, hey, I do more. Do we know how often that's the case?
Well, again, with respect to research, you know, we're dealing with the averages. So, yeah, there are lots of individual differences. So certainly there are families, and families in the types of data that I have and so forth, where fathers do more than mothers. It's just that if you look at it on average, you know, mothers still do more. And that's really what I'm saying. And in research, that's often what we're focused on, right, is overall sort of what's happening. But what's interesting is that there are certainly families where fathers do more. There are an increasing number of families with stay-at-home fathers, where mothers are the ones who are, engaging in paid work, and fathers are primary caregivers for children. And I think it's important to understand, you know, what makes those arrangements successful, you know, why people enter into those arrangements and what makes them successful, because they are on the rise.
Let's go to Francisco in Sister Bay. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Go ahead.
Hello.
I have a very down-to-earth comment. I'm a Mexican, and I'm approaching 80. And I've been through life, and I've seen, and what I have to tell the American people is that gender equality is a hypocrisy. It doesn't exist in parenting. And that what you have done with all of this nonsense is take the woman out of the house and make her work even more. And who suffers? The children. There's nobody home to take care of them. There's an increase in baby rapes. There's an increase in burglaries. Because nobody's home. The mother, to give you an example, the mother makes $1,500, $2,000 a month. The state pays $3,000 for child care, four or five kids.
Now, I think we're moving into a different territory, Francisco, but I appreciate your call. But I, what about, Sarah, again, you researched dual income parents,
right,
for your research, and we're not talking about single mothers or anything else. But what about his thought that... That this is bad for the children, that women are doing even more work because they're working outside the home and they're working in the home, and this just isn't good for society.
Right. Okay. Well, I think there's a couple of things there. First of all, you know, women are in the workforce, and I don't see, you know, the majority of families with young children have, you know, that are two-parent families, both parents are working for pay outside the home. And regardless of what you may think about that, I don't think that's changing anytime soon. I think that's a reality. It's an economic reality for many families, and many parents, both men and women, you know, want that kind of arrangement. So, okay, setting that aside for a second, you know, is this bad for children? I don't think there's any evidence that, you know, the amount of time parents, mothers, or fathers work in and of itself is a negative for children at all. The research shows that, you know, when mothers work outside the home, as long as they're, you know, sensitive parents, if they're able to be, you know, warm and sensitive with their children, that there's no ill effects at all of them working outside the home. And the number of hours just doesn't matter. What I would say is that, you know, what will enable mothers to continue to be sensitive to their children and to continue to have those warm relationships is if they're not, you know, overburdened with a lot of additional domestic work. So I think that's another way in which, you know, mothers and fathers sharing the workload can benefit everyone.
Thank you, Francisco. Katie in Bayside is with us. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and both my husband and I work, not only because we want to, but because we have to. And I think that it's not necessarily about a gender equality in the roles of parenting, but it really has to directly relate to the workforce, where mothers are not only expected to work, but have to work, and yet society doesn't really allow us to be both mothers and full-time professionals. And that aside, childcare also is a huge stressor in that. So I think families are trying to be more equal, and as a millennial, I think we try to share our parenting roles very equally, but it depends on who's home and whose job allows them to be home, and, you know, trade-offs depends on the week and the day with who needs to pick up the kids and whatnot. But I think our society doesn't really allow us to do both very well. They want us to, and they say they can, but when it actually comes down to say, hey, can we take off? I need to get home to pick up my child. You know, that's when the workforce isn't very willing to let us do so, or they scoff at it, or, you know, there is that penalty of being a mother, but also a father. So I think it's directly related to how we have to work and how our society doesn't really, isn't there yet as fully encumbering and letting us be both good parents and good workers.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't disagree with that. I mean, like I said, most of my research focuses on things that happen within families that shape, you know, how parents share parenting. But certainly all of the factors that the caller mentions in terms of, you know, paid parental leave and workplace flexibility and all of those factors are huge in terms of, you know, and if those things don't change, I don't think we can put it all on parents, you know, within their own families to achieve equality in parenting, because those other things have to be in place too. And if we want parents, mothers and fathers to contribute economically and to raising children, we're going to have to put some money behind it, honestly. That's what I would say. So I agree.
Thank you very much, Katie, for the call. Steve in Marshfield is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
So I wanted to call in. My wife and I have a 3.5-year-old and an 8-month-old, and both work outside the home. And I just wanted to make the comment that even though we try to split up the work around the house as much as possible, there's just things that men as parents can't take on, specifically breastfeeding, or now that my wife is back at work, pumping at work. So I think that as much as we try to take things on as men, we're going to have to try harder to make sure that, you know, the workload of the things we can do might not even be equal. We need to take more of the balance of the things we can to lessen the load of the things we can't.
What about that, Sarah?
Well, I think that's a very progressive way to look at it. In our data, we didn't find that accounting for breastfeeding time really changed that difference between men and women. In particular, mothers were still devoting more time to routine caregiving tasks, setting aside breastfeeding. So I think the caller's point is well taken, is that, okay, well, why is that? You know, if mothers really do have, and that's, you know, that's pretty much true, you know, if they're breastfeeding, you know, that is a significant burden on them, and that if fathers, you know, would be willing to then take on more of the other types of caregiving tasks that they, as the caller said, that they can do, you know, I certainly think that would move towards equality. Equality doesn't have to be splitting each and every task down the middle either. You know, it doesn't mean that dad does half of the breastfeeding and mom does half of the breastfeeding, you know. For obvious reasons, that's not realistic. But if dads can take on more of what they can do, then that could move things towards more equality overall.
So Ryan on Facebook says, I try really hard to do my fair share, and I feel bad if I think my wife is doing too much. So any practical advice for Ryan or those dads like Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you just communicate with your partner as much as you possibly can. I think that, you know, if you think that one partner's doing too much, then talk about it and figure out how you can get things back into balance. I think that continuing those open lines of communication, and especially, you know, children aren't just babies. You know, they change and grow with development. And so how you handle the distribution of parenting responsibilities is necessarily going to change over time. So it's not the kind of thing where it's equal, you set it, you know, when you have a baby, and it just stays that way because children's needs change and so forth. So it's something that has to be you know, continually communicated about and renegotiated as children grow and develop. And for most parents, as you add additional children to the family, of course.
Yeah. We have just a minute to go. Just a final takeaway for our listeners on your research.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say that, you know, the point of my work and what I find is that, you know, there has been a lot of progress made. And, you know, I've dedicated my career to studying the importance of fathers for children's development and, you know, how fathers, we can get fathers more involved in parenting. So, you know, I don't mean to, you know, criticize fathers in the sense that I think that they're not doing enough, but rather that, you know, there are just these persistent differences that remain, and, you know, we should think about why they're there. And, you know, if we value equality, how both men and women can work together to change that.
Thank you so much for being with us. Shara Shapi-Sullivan is with Ohio State University. Thanks to Brianne Shasso for producing the show. This is the Ideas Network.